What you're seeing is the proliferation of pornography in the culture, the accessibility to porn. And kids are inundated with this in pop culture.
Do you draw the connection between the two? You think that the sexualization of society is what's creating this?
Yes, we live in a hyper-sexualized culture right now, and kids can't escape from it.
I just had a conversation with my kids. I don't have time to go into all of the details of why I had to have this conversation, but I will at some future date. Suffice it to say, it involved a laptop computer and going on YouTube to do karaoke stuff. Now it sounds, oh, that's fine. Go on YouTube, do karaoke. No, it isn't actually. No, it's not. You have to ensure that computers, any type of laptop, any type of mobile device, when your kids are young, especially, even when they're not so young, you've got to be really careful. It means you have to have a common area where they use these devices. You can have as many of these barriers in place to prevent disturbing images from popping up on these screens, but those aren't foolproof either. We had a real conversation about this. It is scary. By the age of 9, most young boys who've had access to a computer have seen a pornographic image by the age of 9. And the numbers get worse and worse. Still, the biggest moneymaker on the internet is porn, by far, billions and billions of dollars. I think the last time they did a survey, I think it was like $12 billion, something like that, pornography. It's a harmless. I love the left is, oh, this is harmless. This is whatever floats your boat. Oh, really? You care about women? All these feminists, they care about women. They care about women's happiness. How about the happiness of the American psyche? American, just focus on the kids, just the children. Matt Fradd joins us now. He has a book, The Porn Myth, Exposing the Reality Behind the Fantasy of Pornography. Matt, it's, you know, we have a family show here, so got to be careful how we talk about this. But I think that is the myth, that this is just, oh, it's just fantasy. It's just it's no big deal. But we find that in the studies that have been done, especially young males, their image of intimacy can be forever warped, and getting over it through rehabilitation and counseling, they still find it difficult to have intimacy with their wife or partner, whatever, because of what they've seen, these images bombarding them day in and day out. And that's a tragedy. It's a long way of leading up to this segment. But Matt, I'd love for you to just comment on that. I know you touch on this in your book, The Porn Myth. But what about that, warping the way that men view women through these images?
Right. Thanks, Laura. Thank you for having me on. Yeah, since the advent of the internet, pornography became affordable, anonymous, and accessible in a way that it had never been before. And because of that, porn use skyrocketed, just like you were saying a moment ago. Many young boys and young girls are exposed to this stuff at an early age, in large part due to the fact that we parents give them portable X-rated movie theaters, otherwise known as cell phones, you know. And it's really not their fault that they're being exposed to it. In part, it's perhaps our fault that we're not protecting them. But certainly, being exposed to such hardcore pornography does alter what we call a person's sexual template. And as one becomes addicted to pornography, he or she needs to watch even more shocking images or videos just to get the same level of arousal. And there has been a ton of research coming out of neurology, psychology, sociology, all of which is saying this. So this isn't a religious issue. This is just I would like to have a healthy sex life. I would like to be a healthy human being issue. And so for that reason, I'm happy to say many people, religious or not, you know, left or right, are beginning to band together and speak out about this.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting to look at the literature on this and the coverage, even in the lamestream media, as I like to call it, even, you know, publications like the Minneapolis Red Star Tribune, which is what I call it, even they had to do a piece a couple of weeks ago about how pornography is an affliction for young men. The consumption of pornography is nearly universal among young men, and the effects are never neutral. It's always adverse. And
Right.
Even when I see the Star Tribune doing this, I'm like, okay, this really is a problem.
Yeah, again, this is something really we could band together on. I have many friends who would say they are, you know, on the right politically or on the left politically, but really, in a sense, we can join together here and say, you know, the world would be better without sexual exploitation. Marriages would be better if husbands and or wives didn't have to retreat to the bathroom to have intimate encounters with their laptops. You know, we want a love life that's beautiful, and we don't need to let porn stand in our way. And the good news is so many people are now speaking out about this. We've really reached a tipping point in our society so that now everyone has either A, is struggling with pornography themselves and sees the adverse effects, or loves someone who does. And that's exciting. I mean, when Pamela Anderson speaks out against pornography, we've reached a tipping point. James Hetfield, lead singer of Metallica, is just about to narrate an anti-porn documentary. We've reached a tipping point. So as grim as it may appear, it's also an exciting time that we can educate ourselves about the beauty of sex and sexual desire and why pornography is always just a cheap counterfeit of that that can never satisfy our hearts.
There was a study, Psychology Today, the Olmsted study, found that women's concerns had more to do about porn, to do with whether consumption of porn was limited than whom it was watched with. Men tend to think that watching porn only has positive consequences. But as they reviewed these studies, you see that women whose partners watch porn regularly thought less of those partners and saw porn as more of a threat to the stability of their relationship. On the other hand, other studies have shown that young men and women alike think that sexually explicit material can help them explore their sexuality and adds, quote, spice to what they do intimately. So women are, we always think it's just a men's problem, but it's not just a problem for men.
No.
Women consume porn as well. I've never understood this porn thing. I've got to say, I find it so disgusting on every level. It's so depressing.
Well, it is. But I mean, when we're trying to engage with people who do engage with it, we have to try and at least sympathize with where they're coming from. And a lot of young men, you know, they would like to be sexually excited. They are curious. And sometimes it does begin as innocently as that. But the problem is these 8-year-olds and 10-year-olds are being exposed to pornographic content that wasn't even available on the black market in the 80s and 90s. And what happens when a young person sees pornography? Well, if they haven't been told what it is, if they haven't been told what to do when they encounter it, they'll likely not tell their parents, and then it'll just sort of become this thing that they turn to regulate their emotional state. Sort of like why I binge on peanut butter M&Ms at the end of the night when my kids drive me crazy. It's like the thing we do to make myself feel better. But of course, the problem with pornography is that even though it excites, even though it gives us this sense of release, it always leads to isolation. Instead of adult entertainment, we become increasingly juvenile. So it doesn't give us what we want. It ends up giving us the opposite, really.
Let me open this up to callers. 855-40-LAURA. Have any of you either had this happen to you, whether you're in a relationship and your spouse, your boyfriend or girlfriend, addicted to this, or I don't even know if we want to call it addiction, but affliction, and how has it affected your relationship? This is an uncomfortable topic, but necessary to discuss, I think. And it all stems from what's happened to our overall culture, Matt. My daughter wanted to get these blouses at, TJ Maxx. It was inexpensive summer blouses. And they had those cutout shoulders, which are all the rage, the cutout shoulders.
Right.
She and I got into the biggest fight the other day because I said, no, no. And, oh, wait a second. No. I mean, and I'm so brutal. I said, no, no. Why? It's fine. No, it's not fine. Let me tell you, what you're wearing sends a signal to everybody else watching you. And if you want to wear a bathing suit at the beach, that's appropriate. That's fine. But you're not going to walk around town in leggings and cut out shoulder shirts, blouses. You're just not going to do that.
Right.
She storms off to her room. And I said, OK, I hope you're reading in there because there are no screens. We know that. No screens. Those are all gone. But it's all part of the culture, the language and the music. It's the billboards on Times Square that you have 13-year-olds who are dressed up to look like they're 25 in the billboards. All of this lends itself to the atmosphere where porn is going to be more accepted, in my view. I'll let you close out this segment.
No, I agree. I think the two feed into one another. And so I think what we have to do when we combat this is not to throw the baby out with the bathwater, but to kind of teach our children that the reason we want you to dress modestly isn't because your body is bad or dirty, but because it is so good. It's, you know, if sex wasn't beautiful or intrinsically good, you couldn't pervert it and make it ugly. So I think always trying to untwist that lie and reclaim the original truth, you know, that we're actually hungering for.
That's a great point. Make it a positive thing. Instead of just saying no, right. No, and no. I mean, yeah, see, maybe I could. Okay, Matt, now that I have your phone number, I'll put you on the conference call when I have these conversations in the future with my almost 12-year-old.
My kids are young, Laura, so I'll call you for expert advice.
Oh, right. Don't call me. I'm just muddling my way through, believe me. Matt, stay on hold. We have a lot of calls. 855-40-LAURA. Is this an addiction, or is that that's not right to call it an addiction? Is it a disease? Alcoholism is a disease. Is this a disease, or is the culture diseased? And we're just playing the part. 855-40-LAURA.
The Laura Ingraham Show.
To the Almighty for inspiration and comfort in difficult times. I certainly do. Every day we get on our hands and knees in the Ingraham household and pray for strength, forgiveness. Let's go to Gary, Texas. Line 4, we stay with Matt Frad on the porn explosion in the United States. Gary.
Hello. Hi there. Yeah, I'm from Houston. I want to get straight to the point, and this is from a he's a leading psychologist in Dallas, Texas, who specializes in people who are addicted to porn. The toughest thing for young men is being rejected by a female that they like. And they'll be rejected for anything. Oh, you're too fat. You're too skinny, whatever.
Yeah, men never do that to
anyway,
women, by the way. Go ahead.
Well, listen, okay, but when men, okay, a man with porn on the internet, a man is never, ever rejected by the female.
Yeah, think they're anonymous, and they can feel, I guess, fulfilled. Those who can't do watch porn. Let's go to Jeffrey, Colorado, and I want Matt to chime in on this. Jeffrey, go ahead.
Hey, Laura. I wanted to chime in, and forgive me if I sound nervous. It's a tough...
Don't be nervous. We're all extended family. Don't be nervous. We all have our issues, believe me.
Well, thanks. I would call myself a recovering addict to pornography. I currently attend 12-step meetings at my church and have been open with it about my wife and family. And I think it's one of those things that needs to be addressed because, like you talked about, it does and it can lead to isolation and even shame. And those two are
toxic.
Are going to be catalysts. Absolutely.
Did you have any other bad behavior? I don't want to say bad behavior. Any other negative behavior patterns that went along with the porn?
I would say no. I've never consumed alcohol or done drugs or.
Well, how about with your wife?
Smoked or
what happened with
like
your
that?
Wife?
I was blessed. By the Lord with an extremely understanding wife who mm-hmm. I told her about it before we got married and she prayed about it and got
you. You are blessed.
I am extremely blessed.
Well, you know something? I'm really glad you shared that story because that's inspiring to people. Matt, your final thoughts here.
Yeah, thanks so much. I just want to say congratulations on having the courage to go to a 12-step group. It takes a real man to know his weaknesses, and mm-hmm. that says a lot about you. So congratulations. You're right. The shame, the isolation, it just sends us into a greater spiral. And what neuroscientists have been discovering, and all of this is in my book, The Porn Myth, is that when people use pornography compulsively, we see similar effects in the brain, like when someone's using chemical stimulation, erosion of the frontal lobes, which is the managerial center of the brain, a depletion in dopamine, which plays a key role in the pleasure reward centers of the brain. And because of this, we find ourselves desiring ever more perverted material. But the good news is the brain is plastic, by which I mean it rewires itself depending on our behaviors. And so even though in the beginning stages of recovery, it can feel excruciatingly
hard.
Difficult, over time, with good accountability, good therapy, we can gain mastery over this stuff. So
is it an addiction at that level?
Well, I think what we need to do is define our terms, because certainly the term addiction can be abused, right? Yeah. People might use the term addiction to escape culpability. Mm-hmm. But just because people use it negatively doesn't mean it's not also accurate. And so there's good reasons to think that pornography is addictive, like gambling or other non-chemical substances.
Matt Fred, the book The Porn Myth is our featured selection on LauraIngram.com and Facebook. Matt, thank you. We could go for a whole hour on this topic. We won't. We will address it again. Don't worry. So I'm sorry I couldn't get to everybody. Remember, special report and Hannity tonight. Please tune in.